Hello, hello, my beautiful human, and welcome to the Soul Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Jacobo. I'm a soul mentor, a fur mama, a ceviche lover, an Aries sign, and forever, your breathwork BFF. Around here, we dive deep into soul work, embodiment, healing, energy, and all the tools to help your soul vibe so dang high, no one can mess with your vibe. This podcast is your daily dose of reminders, realness, and practicality to help you conquer it all. So get ready for some epic conversations, some heart-to-heart chats. Get ready to own your power and connect with the most powerful version of yourself. You know what time it is. It's time for some soul activation. Let's do this. Hello, hello, and feliz miércoles. Happy Wednesday. I am so pumped for today's episode. If you tuned in to last week's episode, you know that I talked about the battle that was in my heart for such a long time between being Mexican and being American, and how that had literally taken such a big toll on my life. And I, for so long, didn't want to address it. I just kind of assumed if I pushed it to the side, it would go away, it would go away, it would go away. But you also know that one of my biggest sayings is, what you resist persists. And lo and behold, it kept just pushing and pushing and pushing until I had the biggest breakthrough not too long ago about why this was happening to me and the things that I was experiencing. And I posted the episode and I got so many personal DMs. So many of you, it reached you, it touched you, you shared it. So today's episode is going to be an extension of that. And I really, really want to dive into the cultural traumas, the cultural beliefs, the cultural chains that we are carrying around and perhaps don't even know that I've learned in my own personal journey. As I started healing, there's so many things that I uncovered and I realized this is because I am a Latina. This is because of my culture. And I never really talked about it because I always had that battle of, I don't want to share too much of this or that. And last week's episode helped you guys so much that today we are diving deep into Latino cultural beliefs, or the beliefs that we carry as being children of immigrants. So without further ado, let's dive into it. I am so, so pumped. One of the things that I learned being in the spot that I am is that I am the oldest. I am the oldest in my family. When my parents got here, I quickly became the face of my family. And for so long, I was very independent. I didn't want to ask for help. I didn't want people to help me in my journey. And I was the type of girl who I would rather Google something for 18 hours than ask the person next to me and in 5 minutes, them tell me what to do. And I didn't know why I was like this. Well, when I was learning about my own traumas, I realized that being the daughter of immigrants who came to this country, I was always told, figure it out. My parents didn't speak English. My parents would get all these letters in the mail, and I'm being like an eight-year-old, nine-year-old, having to help them read this word, read that word with the little English that I knew. By fifth grade, I was translating documents for my parents. And I was doing everything that I could to help my parents. But without me knowing, at a very young age, I was learning to become super independent. Super like, don't ask people for help. You'll figure it out. Because every time I told my parents, oh, I don't know how to do this, their response was, well, we'll figure it out. Figure it out. You know how to do it. Figure it out for us. Well, if we can't rely on you, then who do you want us to ask? And if you look back at the person that you are today, we are completely shaped by those beliefs from our past, even if they weren't bad ones. I used to always say, I'm so proud of myself because I'm such a hard worker. I'm such a hard worker. Like, my parents coming to this country showed me that I had to work really hard and achieve things at a young age. And I had to push, push, push. Well, I became an overachiever. I became somebody who wanted to be validated through my achievements, not through who I was. A big part of my story, if you guys have been following the podcast for some time now, you know that I went through this season of losing myself, losing my identity. I went to college. I got the degrees. I got the next degree and the next degree and the next degree. I bought the house. I bought the car. I was the youngest teacher in the district when I got hired. I had everything, quote unquote, that my parents had told me to do and what I thought I wanted to do. And then I hit a point in my life where there was nowhere else for me to go. And I hit rock bottom in my mind and my thoughts. I didn't know how to feel. And I thought, come on, Crystal, you have a bigger house than your parents ever did. You drive a good car. You have a good career. I remember my dad telling me at a very young age, Mija, get a good job, go to school, get a career, because you don't want to work in the fields like I do. You don't want to work out in the hot sun like I do. And those beliefs at a very early age were like, Crystal, you need to figure it out. Crystal, you need to do this, because there's so much expectations on your back riding on you. You have to become someone. And at that point, here's what I didn't understand. It wasn't even you have to become someone for you. It was you have to become someone for them. I had to become somebody for my parents. I had to make their sacrifice coming to this country worthwhile. I was the oldest one in my family. So without me knowing, I was learning to validate myself through achievements, not through who I was. The world was validating me through what I achieved. My parents were praising me through getting good grades, through getting a good job. I remember my first office job. I was like, I don't know, 19 years old. And I had an office job and I was a tax preparer for H&R Block, actually. And then I started as a receptionist. The next year I came back as a tax preparer. The next year I got certificates and I went up like tax pro level 2. And I just kept climbing basically the positions. And my parents were so proud of me. I had my own cubicle. And the more and more that I achieved, the more that I was recognized. And now looking back at it, that kept in my adulthood life. When I had nowhere to go, when I had the degrees, when I was already the teacher, I had nowhere else to go. And it put a big toll on my mental health. Because here's the thing. When we are first generation kids or children of immigrants, we have to remember that first generation children, we are expected to have goals and to hit the goals of the family and our own personal goals. We're expected to feel the needs of our family and our own wants too. And here's the other thing. When they don't line up, like if you want to achieve something in your career, let's say you want to be a musician and that's your passion and your parents want you to be a lawyer or a doctor. I think that's like a big thing in the Hispanic culture or just in the culture of immigrants. Parents want you to shoot for a lawyer or a doctor or a big career like that. When it doesn't match up with what your parents want for you, there's these big feelings of failure, disappointment, and frustration. I remember when I quit my job, I think I shared this a while ago, when I quit my teaching job, my parents, every single time they met people, they would say, oh, this is my daughter, la maestra, esta es la maestra, es la maestra que te dije. And it was a big feeling of, oh, I'm a teacher. Oh, I'm someone. Well, when I quit teaching, I wasn't la maestra. They didn't know how to refer to me. I was just their daughter. And I think for so long, I felt like a failure. But now looking back at it, this was the first time I ever followed my heart. This is the first time I ever listened to what Crystal wanted. This is the first time I was me. But yet I felt like a total loser, because I was following my heart. And again, it goes back to those expectations that without us knowing, we're so tied to the sacrifice that our parents made. Our parents left everything. Their parents, their culture, what they knew. They left everything to bring us here, to expect a better life for us, to want a better life for us. See, immigration takes a lot of sacrifice. So the experiences, they come with such a high level of pressure and responsibility to do something with our lives, us as the kids, us as the children. And it's almost like you have to make it worthwhile that they sacrificed everything to come here for us. We, at an early age, learn to feel responsible for building the generational wealth, like the status that our parents, whatever little house they had, whether it was a one bedroom, one bathroom, our responsibility is to have a bigger house. If they had a car, our responsibility is to have a better car, to show them that it was worth it. But here's the other thing that comes with that is we learn at a very young age to overwork ourselves. Because we grow up seeing our parents work, 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 work. I can't remember anybody that I grew up with ever saying, oh, we're going on vacation. Or my parents are taking a break from their job. I don't ever remember that being a thing. And even though many children of Hispanics, we achieve success, we also do it at the cost of feeling exhausted. And we don't take moments to pause and realize that we've made it so far. We don't take time to pause and reflect on our own success, because it's almost like we're craving more and more and more, because that's the only way to be validated. For so long, I didn't understand this need to do and do and do and do. And I wanted to outwork everybody, and I wanted to outperform everybody. And people were so proud of me. I remember people would say, oh, I just want you to work really hard like Crystal. Or when my daughter grows up, I hope she's like you. And I was praised left and right. But I was praised because I was an overworking machine. I never took breaks. I remember in college, I had 3 jobs. Your girl had 3 freaking jobs. I remember I used to work at a boutique from 11 in the morning to 6 p.m. And then at 6 p.m., I would get out and I would drive to another job that I had as a receptionist. Then as a receptionist, I would come home at midnight and I would work on my school, on all my college homework. Then I would wake up at 4 in the morning and I would go to school to hit the credits, go to school. I think my first class was 5 in the morning, and I got to go to school in the morning. Then I drove back and I started the boutique again at 11. And then on Wednesdays, the store was closed. So I worked a part-time job as an after-school aide. So I was getting maybe an average of 3 hours of sleep. And I was missing family events. I was missing things. I couldn't do anything because I was always working, because I knew I wanted to graduate. I knew I wanted to have a career. But it was because I was praised for it. I was praised for working really hard. I was praised for this. I was exhausted. I was tired. I was slowly losing my own spark. I was getting sucked into this culture of work, 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 and never rest. Work, 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 because we're here on a country that isn't ours. I feel like that was the belief of my parents. It's work because we need to earn the fact that we're here. We need to earn the right to be here. And you have to prove. It was almost like this toxic trait of, I have to prove that I'm American enough to be in this country because I was born here. So I always, I had no idea, I should say, why I was the way I was until I started working on myself. And so I started diving into my own traumas, my own toxic traits, everything about myself. And I realized, wait a minute. I remember when I was working on myself, I was talking to my coach and I was like, I'm so messed up. And she said, no, you just have cultural traumas. That's it. You have cultural beliefs that are engraved in you, and you get to break the cycle. And I remember I didn't know what breaking the cycle meant, but she was talking to me and she said something along the lines. I don't remember word for word, but she said something along the lines of imagine this, Crystal. Imagine being alone in a new country. If I were to take you right now and drop you in a brand new country and you're unable to speak the language, you're surrounded by people who are unfamiliar, you're surrounded by unfamiliar culture, and you're forced to leave your entire life behind. You can't talk to your mom. You can't bring a family. It's just you. This was the reality for your parents. This is the reality for all the immigrants around the world. In so many cases, just coming to the country seeking for the better life is the traumatic experience. What they face to get here, because a lot of the immigrants come here illegally, that is a traumatic experience itself. It is immigrants often left without proper tools, resources to help them cope in the new environment. They kind of just get suppressed. They kind of just get shoved. And then getting here is a whole other ballgame. Once you're here, if you're here illegally, think about that. Like, I can go and drive and do and be and show my face anywhere I want to because I'm born here. Where are they going to kick me out? This is my country. I was born here. But for somebody who isn't born here, you almost learn to go to work, come back, and never be too much. Because the moment you're too much, you get noticed. And the moment you get noticed, the dream that you have to have this American dream, I should say, is over for you. You're done. You failed your kids, you failed your wife, you failed your parents, you failed the people back in your country. So you kind of just learn to be enough, but not fully be you. And when I heard that from my own coach, it blew my mind because I'm like, that's exactly what my life was. I was always told, Crystal, calm down. Crystal, people are looking at you. Crystal. And I mean, you guys know my personality. You listen to the podcast every week. Like, I'm loud. I am really out there. Like, I love being myself. But at a very young age, I learned to tone it down. And I always didn't understand why I felt like I needed to shrink myself in rooms. Why, when I was in graduating college, I wanted to volunteer myself so bad to run the club or to do this, but I still felt unworthy. I still felt like I didn't know enough. Well, yeah, I had learned that at an early age, even though that wasn't the intention, even though the intention was to protect me and take care of me and making sure that everything was good so that we could stay together as a family. Here I am as a little girl trying to understand the world, and I'm learning so many things that kind of stop me from living in the world. And you guys want to know what's crazy? There's an actual study that I read that says that in intergenerational context, children of immigrants tend to show higher rates of anxiety and depression. And as I'm talking through all of this with you guys, I'm realizing, yes, I didn't understand why. Like, why do I have these thoughts? Why do I have, I've learned them at such a young age. To all the children of immigrant parents out there, like, I hope you are listening to this episode and you're realizing there's nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. A lot of our own insecurities, a lot of the way we face life, a lot of the way we do life is a repeated cycle. And a lot of the times we don't even know we're in this cycle. This is just the way we learn. This is just the way we became. And we repeat this cycle. Like asking for help. I touched a little bit on that earlier in the episode. But for many of us of immigrant parents, we are still learning that asking for help isn't shameful, that it's okay to accept the help of others. We're cultured to believe we shouldn't do anything early in life. You shouldn't retire early. You shouldn't do anything early in life. We grow up in environments that almost ingrain in us to learn how to detach quickly from feelings. But we also carry so much trauma in our bodies from our ancestor, from migration, from oppression. We, without us knowing, repeat the cycles that are unhealed. We cause more trauma trying to avoid feeling. And attachment trauma, it's very, even if we try to get away from it, it's still here. Especially in our community. Even when we think about like the punishments that we would get, I think back at like the way we were punished. I remember my brother, he was a little bit more on the wild side than I was. I always knew my limit. I knew how to get in trouble and only do enough so that I would get hit a few times. But even as I say these words, it sounds so weird. But I would know if I do this, I'm only going to get hit for 4 or 3 times. But my brother, on the other hand, he would get hit with the broom, a stick, the belt. That guy got everything. And even the way we are punished, if we think about it, I used to always say, why are my parents like this? Why are my parents doing this? But as I'm doing this work, I realize they're just repeating a cycle. How they would discipline us is the way they were disciplined, and probably twice as worse than they did it to us. And then if you were to think about their parents, who are our grandparents, they were disciplined worse as well, and then worse and worse, and it keeps going. So even though we think, why are our parents doing this? This is all they knew. And for many of our parents to this day, this is all they know. When you have children and they have grandkids and they want to correct you, or they want to tell you how to raise your kids, they were told the same thing too. I was at an event recently, and I was sitting, it was family, it was my friend's family, and it was my husband's family. So there was like 7 different families all in the same room. And we're sitting there, and this lady starts talking about how, look, all the kids are so grown, and she remembers when they were all little, and now they're all raising their own littles. And she starts having this conversation, and I happened to be sitting a chair away from her. So she wasn't having the conversation with me, but I was close enough to hear it. And then I start hearing her say, you know, the women from this generation, they don't work anymore. The women in today, they don't even want to have kids. What's their purpose in this world? If I remember, women back then were real women. They had up to 18 kids, 19 kids. You know, one of my friends' mom had 6 babies, and at 6 babies she quit. What a failure. And she was saying all this in Spanish. She's like, women, this generation of women, they're useless. And she's talking, and I was hearing the conversation, and part of me was getting so heated in the moment, because I don't have children. Does that make me useless? Does that mean I'm good for nothing? And as I was hearing the conversation, something in my brain triggered, and I felt really, really sorry for her. I felt really, really sorry for her, because this is how we grew up to be. I know different because I've been working on myself, because I've been doing this work. But who knows, if I would have never stepped into this work, if I would have never felt like I was so broken and desperate to do this work, I don't know what my thinking would be. It could be very easily for me to be just repeating another cycle and think, I am useless because I don't have a baby yet. I don't know. Life could be very, very different for me. But because of the way it worked out, I was focused on school. I was focused on this. And then I fell in love with creating the business and the podcast and the show. And I just got so busy with life that having kids wasn't my priority. It was the things that excited me, the things that made me happy. And as I was hearing her have this conversation with the other lady, the other lady said, you know what? I think you're wrong. She said, I think we live in a very, very different society now. And she said, and these women have so much more opportunities. I wish when I was their age, I could have gone to school. I could have done this. She said, but I didn't. At a very young age, I was told to work. I was forced to drop out of school when I was in 3rd grade to help my parents work too. And she used to work in the fields too with her parents. She said, and then I got married at like 15. I came to this country and all I knew was work. I don't know how to read. I don't know how to write. I just know how to work. And my value is in work. She said, but I wish I had another opportunity. And it was an interesting conversation to witness, because I'm realizing that the more and more the newer generation of Latinos are doing work, we're having different conversation with our parents. we're having different conversations and the way we're growing and expanding together. And that's what people mean when they say the cycle ends with you. Like, the awareness starts with you. I cannot praise men enough. I think if you're a man doing the healing work, I'm so proud of you. I think women, I'm so proud of you, but men in particular, I think there's this big thing in the in our culture of like machismo, of men, you don't cry and men don't fold and men have no emotions and men are the head of the household. And for so long, we learn to like almost depend on men because that's who we as women have been told runs the household. And two things happen. One, we develop this extreme visibility of women of like, I'll never be tamed by a man. And we become super, super independent and decide to rely only on ourselves. And we develop this feeling of, I'll never trust the man almost. And for the other man on the other side, it's like, well, I'll never be man enough because the more this girl does, the more I need to prove that I am doing. I remember I was in a relationship not too long ago and I've always been a go-getter. But again, now I know it was out of trauma, not because that's what I wanted to do. It was trying to prove to the world that I was good enough. So I was always a go-getter. And I remember in this relationship, he looks at me and he said, Crystal, my biggest fear is that you're here. And he raised his hand almost like if he was doing like a bar, like you're here. He said, and I'm down here. And by the time I catch up to you here, you already be over here. And he said, in this relationship, that's my biggest worry. I'm never going to catch up to you. And at that time, I didn't really understand what that meant because I wasn't doing work. I was just trying to achieve the next thing and the next thing because that's how I was validated in the world. It wasn't who Crystal was. It was what Crystal did. And I never really understood that until I started doing this work. I realized because men have learned to be the head of household, to be this, to do that, all society, all our culture looks at them for, you should have it figured out. You should do this. You should, shame on you, shame on you. They have to do work too, but they have such a big burden on their shoulders too for especially ending machismo. Like the guys who help their women and split the work with their women and realize that a woman and a man being married is a partnership. It's not just you cook and you clean and you give me children and I work, I bring money and I come home and you serve me. Like that right there, as dumb as it sounds, because I know I said it, that is the culture that our parents grew up in and our grandparents. So us here doing the work, us doing partnerships, us sharing responsibilities with our partner, like I want to celebrate us so damn hard. Like I'm celebrating you for listening to this podcast. I'm celebrating me. I'm celebrating us because we are doing this work. We are ending the cycles. And I was talking about men earlier, but it's exceptionally brave for a man of color who grew up experiencing the toxicity of machismo as a normal thing and being expected to learn how to be vulnerable and decide to feel his feelings and allow their children to feel their feelings too. Your healing work is seen and celebrated so much. And I say this because when I started this work, I remember I never in my life saw my dad cry, ever. I never saw my dad hug my brother. I never saw my dad show any type of emotion. I always knew he loved us. I did, because he would play with us. And he was always working. And the way he showed us that he loved us is by always working hard and trying to provide food for us and giving us whatever little things he could give us, like material things, I should say. So I knew he loved us. But I never had a deep conversation with my dad. I didn't know who my dad was. I just knew he was my dad. I listened to him. He was responsible for whether we went out or we didn't, or the groceries that came in. But that's all I knew about my dad. And when I started doing this work, I started changing the conversations with my dad. I started asking him things and telling him things. And I said, hey, do you know this hurt me? Do you know this is what I experienced? I know this isn't true, but this is how I interpret it. And now I have some amazing, amazing conversations with my dad. We go so deep. We last hours on the phone and we're talking about trauma and his life and how he was raised. And it's opened our relationship to expand at such a deeper level. So if you are a man doing this work, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. As much as I am for women, I think there's such a big, it's like a, taboo topic if you're a man. But there's this work for men is so much needed. It is very, very much needed. So if you're a man doing this work, I'm just so freaking proud of you, of all of us. But there's just so many cultural beliefs that were passed down to us that affected who we are today. I remember with my partner, I remember thinking to myself, my dad is so strong. My dad is this. My dad will figure it out. My dad will do this. And I remember almost putting like the expectation on him, like, I want you to work hard. This was early. I was maybe like 19 years old. I want you to do this because this is how my dad did it. This is how my dad would have done it. And in a way, through working through my own self, I was working with the coach actually. And the coach said, you realize, Crystal, every time, he said, you want him to show connection, my partner. He said, you want him to show emotions. You want him to be present. But you realize you admire your dad so much because your dad never cried, because your dad was strong, because your dad was this. He said, so the moment your partner does that, shows emotion, he becomes not a man to you. Because the definition of a man is your dad. And your dad never cried. Your dad never expressed emotions. So think about this. In your mind, you're battling what you actually want from a partner versus what you think a partner should be. And he said, until you realize that you being tough, because I remember I am the oldest in my family. I am my dad's first kid. I am my dad's first daughter. So I grew up very like, come on, mija, you don't need anybody. I don't ever want you to depend on a man. Like, you don't need anybody in life. You'll figure it out. Come on, you're my tough girl. Like, you don't cry. You pick yourself up. Girls don't cry. I remember that being like my motto. Like, that was my identity. Girls don't cry. And when I was working with the coach, he said, you're so into girls don't cry. Oh, you're so tough. Like, you don't need anybody. I'm with you because I want to, not because I have to. He said, but the moment, if you don't show emotion, the moment he shows emotion, he stops being a man to you because you're so uncomfortable with your own damn emotion. And I remember he said that to me. And when he said that to me, I was so offended. I was like, what? That makes no sense. Like, no, I want him to show emotion. I'm ready for the emotion. He said, no, you're not. Because if you were ready for the emotion, you would start with yourself. You would start processing your own emotions and stop looking at the emotion from him. He can't show it to you because you don't even accept yours either. And in there, he said, you admire your dad so much for the hard work and who he was. You're demasculating this man right here. And in that moment, I cried so many tears. I didn't know. I felt like I needed to apologize. I felt like I needed to call my dad. There were so many things that went through my mind. I felt so lost. And that was a lot. That was actually part of the beginning of my story, is learning, shoot, if I do this to him, what else have I done to other friends? What else have I done to other people? a lot of our cultural beliefs make us toxic in our own way. And I hate that word. I don't want to say I hate the word toxic, but I hate the word realizing. It's an on battle that I have with that word, but I don't like using that word because I think to ourselves, like, it's not that we're toxic because we don't know. We're not trying to do it on purpose, but in a way, because we don't know, we are doing it on purpose. Because we don't know, we are doing it and repeating it over and over and over. So when it comes to the cultural beliefs, it is so important to slow down and say, wait a minute, is this my belief? Or is this somebody else's belief that I've been carrying? Somebody, my grandma, my mom, my tía, my tío, whose belief is this right here that I have? And you get to really sit with the things that you think about, the beliefs, the ideas, and ask yourself, whose do they belong? Because 90% of the time, we're just repeating cycles. We're just repeating cycles from who we grew up with. We're repeating cycles such as not taking a break, not doing this, not like learning to feel pressure and to achieve all the things all the time, 24/7. We're learning to want more and more and more. Why? Because we want to, or because we're trying to prove a point? Like, we're trying to be strict with our kids. Why? Because our parents used to be strict with ourselves. There's something that I didn't understand either, but our parents used to be strict with ourselves. I never understood why. I just wanted them to trust me. But here's what I realized. It was never about me. My parents were strict because they were strict out of fear. They believe, there's like a belief, if they can control all aspects of your childhood, then they will less likely make mistakes in raising you. So people that have toxic, or not toxic, strict parents, it wasn't even about the children. It was about their own fears. So if you slow down and think about that, it blows my mind how much we're carrying. So I hope this episode was useful for you. I hope it's helping you just slow down and reflect and say, okay, this can relate to me. Okay, I can relate to this. And really slow down and ask yourself, am I honoring my truth? Am I living from the person that I want to be? Not the person I was expected to be. Not the person that they want me to be. Because as much as I love my parents, I realize that we're never fully going to see each other eye to eye. And that's okay. I have different goals. I have different things I want to achieve. I want to end cycles, and I want to make sure that when my kids are born, that I can have a decent conversation with them, that I can show them, you are allowed to cry. You're allowed to feel. You're allowed to not know all the answers. You're allowed to ask for help. All the things that I didn't know I was allowed to do. I'm allowed to fall. I'm allowed to fail multiple times and figure it out again. There's nothing bad with being a failure or actually hitting like a spot where you feel like a failure. There's nothing wrong. You get to get back up. You get to start over. And it's not failed. It's you start over from experience. You start over from a knowledge that you already know. There's so many cultural beliefs that do not serve us anymore. And I hope that as you're listening to this episode, you pause, you reflect, and you slow down. And the next time you think or you do or you make a decision in life, you slow down and ask, wait a minute, is this my decision or is this somebody else? Do I just do this out of a habit or do I do this because I really want to? Because here's what I know to be true. Your parents' trauma does not belong to you. It is not part of your inheritance. You don't have to prolong trauma because it's what was familiar to those who came before you. You are not defined by the cycles you are stuck in. You are not defined by other people's pain that you have absorbed. You get to free yourself. You get to learn about yourself. And you get to end those cycles for good. And also, I mean this in the most beautiful way possible. It is time to unlearn the things you learned from wounded people. because our parents, our great grandparents, the people that raised us, they have their own wounds too. And for so long, I didn't understand why my parents didn't want to do work, or why they raised me a certain way, or why they couldn't do certain things. But I realized, as much as I've processed my own traumas, they have traumas too. And they did the best with what they knew. They did the best with what they could. And there's no rule book for life. There's no rule book that says, once you get to America, you want to make sure you do this. You want to make sure you do that. Make sure you talk to your kids. Make sure you're a part of their lives. There is no rule book to life. We're all a little wounded. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're not responsible for the programming we received as kids, but we are responsible for healing it. We are responsible for how long it stays in our life. We are responsible for how long we stay in that cycle. So as you're hearing this episode, if you're in the season of healing, if you're in the season of breaking generational cycles, I'm so freaking proud of you. I am honoring you so loud right now. And I'm cheering for you. And know that I'm rooting for you. And I'm celebrating you every step of the way. For those of you guys that are on this episode, I want to invite you to join us next week, as we're going to have a guest and we're going to dive a lot deeper into their story, the way they were raised, and their cultural upbringings and how it's impacted their lives. So I'm so, so excited for that episode. I love you so, so much. I hope you have a fabulous Wednesday. Thank you for being here. And I'm sending you a big, 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 big virtual hug. And not the little scrumpy ones, but the ones that squeeze you really, really, really freaking tight. I love you so, so much. And I'll talk to you on the next Soul Radio episode. Love you. Bye.